ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 टेक्स्ट 30 एंड 31 टुडे वी विल जस्ट विल रिपीट टुगेदर टेक्स्ट 30 ओनली ट्रांसलेशन एंड कमेंट्री By His Divine Grace, Sri P.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Guru Acharya Viscon. Tameka Sarva Bhutanam Dehasvat Mendriyeshvaraha Tvameva Kalo Bhagavan Vishnuravyaya Ishvaraha Tvameka Sarva Bhutanam Dehasvat Mendriyeshvaraha Tvameva Kalo Bhagavan Vishnur Avyaya Ishvaraha Tvameka Sarva Bhutanam Dehasvat Mendriyeshvaraha Tvameva Kalo Bhagavan Vishnur Avyaya Ishvaraha And the next verse. Tvam Mahan Prakriti Sukshma Raja Sattva Tamomai Tvameva Purusho Dhyakshya Sarva Kshetra Vikaravit Tvam Your Lordship Ekaha One Sarva Bhutanam Of all living entities Deha of the body, Asu of the life force, Atma of the soul, Indriya of the senses, Ishvaraha the super soul, the controller, Tvam your lordship, Eva indeed, Kalaha the time factor, Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnuhu, all-pervading, Avyayaha, imperishable, Ishvaraha, controller, Tvam, your lordship, Mahan, the greatest, Prakritihi, the cosmic manifestation, Sukshma, subtle, Rajaha Sattva Tamaha. Rajaha Sattva Tamaha Mayi. Consisting of three modes of nature. Passion, goodness, and ignorance. Tvameva. Your lordship is indeed. Purushaha. The supreme person. Adhyakshaha. The proprietor, Sarvakshetra, in all living entities, Vikaravit, knowing the restless mind. Translation. This is the sons of Kuvera, Nana Kuvera and Manigriva, speaking to Krishna after being delivered from the condition of being trees. So these are their prayers, continue. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of everything. The body, life, ego, and senses of every living entity are your own self. You are the Supreme Person, Vishnu, the imperishable controller. You are the time factor, the immediate cause, and you are material nature consisting of the three modes, passion, goodness, and ignorance. You are the original cause of this material manifestation. You are the super soul, and therefore you know everything within the core of the heart of every living entity. Purport. Shripad Madhva Acharya has quoted from the Vamana Purana as follows. Rupyat va tu jagat rupam Vishnu Sakshat Sukhatmakam Nitya Purnam Samuddhishtam Sarupam Paramatmanaha. That's the end of the purport. There's no translation of this verse. And I can't understand what it means. Anyway, it's been commented upon, and the etiquette is that we can speak on a verse that's been commented. We can further comment on a verse that's been commented on. Andeham Shri Guru Shri Yatapadakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rakhunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Shri Krishna Taitanya Pavunit Dhanam Dashi Vedagaradha Rasivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nalakuvara and Manigriva were standing as trees in Vrindavan for many, many years, which is a great fortune for them. And it appears that even while they were within the tree body, they were cognizant of their previous position and why they were in their present position. Now they are praying to Krishna. They have seen or Krishna's childhood pastimes, because they were just at the edge of the of Nanda Maharaj's courtyard. So they must have seen his childhood pastimes, and they saw the love of the Brijbasis for Krishna and how they treated Krishna as their own darling child. However, they are praying to Krishna. In the previous verse, Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogins, you are the great yogi, the master of mysticism. You are the original person beyond this material creation. You are everything. You are the cosmic manifestation. You are known as such by great Brahmanas. And in this verse they continue that you are the only controller of everything. Everything is none different from you. You are the Supreme Person, Vishnu, the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the imperishable controller, time factor, and in so many ways they're extolling Krishna's glories, which the Brijbasis, they won't do that. Their concept of Krishna is different. So we see that these previous demigods, now again they got their demigod-like body, that they are very fortunate to have been apparently cursed by Narad Muni to lose their heavenly position and take a hellish position as trees. Actually, that's a hellish position. But they took a tree-like position in Vrindavan, which is a very exalted position. Trees in Vrindavan are not ordinary living beings. They're all great rishis who have taken that position to serve Krishna. So they're in Vrindavan, but they don't have the vision of the Brijbasis. They're very fortunate in as much as they've seen Krishna, they've seen his pastimes. But they don't relate to Krishna in the same way as the Brijbasis do. They have this mood of awe and reverence. As demigods, they have that mood of awe and reverence towards Krishna. That's why even sometimes the demigods, they come in Vrindavan, and they, just like Indra comes, Brahma comes, both of them having been mistaken and practically offensive in their attitude to it and their activities towards Krishna. Indra by first of all Brahma by stealing the cowherd boys and calves, and then Indra by pouring torrential rain on Vrindavan. So they both came and they apologized to Krishna, you are the Supreme Lord. That is their mood. Even though they came to Vrindavan, they didn't or couldn't adopt the mood of intimate love with Krishna. intimate love for Krishna, as the Brijvasis do, even though they saw Krishna in Vrindavan. And here we see the sons of Kuvera, they were living with the Brijvasis, seeing the intimate childhood pastimes of Krishna. But even though they appreciated Krishna as the supreme controller, but they couldn't enter into the mood of the Brijvasis. Because they're that mood, they're demigods. They still, one thing is, they still have some material desire. They're still strongly attached to their material position as demigods. So they can appreciate Krishna as the Supreme Lord, that he is the greatest person. But to go beyond that requires pure love. Now, the Vaikunthavasis who have the mood of worshipping Krishna or in reverence, their love is pure in the sense that their love for Lakshmi Narayana is pure in as much as they don't have any material desire to enjoy this material world, as the demigods do. But it is not, still is not considered as exalted as the love of the Vrajavasis for Krishna. The demigods, they are devotees, but they have still a desire to enjoy this material world. So they appreciate the Supreme Lord as the supreme controller. They cannot go beyond that concept. Supreme controller means they themselves are taking the positions of universal controllers. Or in the case of this, like this, Nalakovra and Manigriva, they're not in the position of universal controllers. They're the son of one of the sons of great demigod Kuvera, who is one of the universal, he's a big shot among the demigods. He's a big personality, well known. But they're simpler, they're not in any controlling position, but they're simply enjoying as demigods. They're enjoying sense gratification. So they're attached to that position. And they're also, they have respect for Krishna, especially for him and his Vishnu form. They respect. They don't think about him that much, most of the time. But when they meet him, they call out to him. Most of the time, they're too busy enjoying life to think about God too much, although they may formally respect him. But they're also in Maya, as we see. Nalakubra and Manigriva, they were in Maya. They were so much in Maya that they incurred the wrath of Narad Muni. They were behaving in a most uncouth manner. So that is the tendency for those who have the idea to enjoy this material world, even as a demigod, is a very dangerous position. We see Indra is always getting himself into trouble because of he doesn't always control himself. He's a demigod. He's a Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Daiva. The demigods, they're known as Vishnu Bhaktas, devotees of Lord Vishnu. But because they have the propensity to enjoy this material world, their devotion doesn't become very strong. And they may fall down at any time. They attain their position by piety, just like we see Indra was chased out of the heavenly planets for his impropriety. He had to leave. And then Nahush took his position because he was a very pious king, but then he also fell down. Because he also, then he wanted to enjoy Shati, the wife of Indra, and then he insulted the brahmanas, the rishis, and then he also fell down. He was a pious king on earth, he took the position of Indra, then he again became a snake. So this is the position of the demigods. They believe in Krishna, they're devotees, but most of the time they're in the illusion of thinking we are enjoying. Still they're considered exalted personalities. But they have this idea that we are the controllers. We are very powerful. We're the universal controllers. And practically, they only take the Lord seriously when they get in a lot of trouble, which they do from time to time. Because the demons are practically as powerful as the demigods. And they're always attacking the demigods. That is their nature to do so, that they're always envious of the demigods. The demigods And then you may say, what is the difference between the demigods and the demons? Because the demigods take shelter of the Supreme Lord, and they're deputed by him to perform activities for overseeing the universe. So they're devotees. They have, whereas the demons, they have the same strong propensity to enjoy, but they're not devotees of Lord Vishnu. And they're not universal controllers, although they're powerful living beings, no doubt. But because they're demons, they're not devotees of the Supreme Lord, and their tendency to be envious and aggressive is more strong than that of the demigods. The demigods also, they may have enviousness and aggressiveness and all these things, unnecessary aggressiveness, because they're also thinking how to enjoy this material world. They're not fully pure. But because they are also devotees, that those tendencies are less. So we don't find that the demigods unnecessarily attack the demons, whereas the demons are always attacking the demigods. They want to take over their position, put them down. They always feel an envy, a feeling that we, for no particular reason, they feel we always have to fight them and defeat them. And we find that in this world also, just like you find. I don't know what Slovenia's position in this, but the Serbians and Croatians, they always feel, there's no particular reason why, but they always feel we have to overcome the other one, the other party, like this. And it's like that, I don't know so much now, but always England and France, they're always envious of each other, always disliked each other. It's still going on, maybe not so much now. Always see white and black in America, or anyway, in England, or any other place. In England recently, there were riots, and although they're Catholic and Protestant in Ireland. So even without any particular, I mean, there will be some reason, someone said this to someone else, but basically they just dislike each other without any particular reason. It's envy, tendency to be envious. That's why they say the best way to bring a country together is to declare war on another country, because everyone has envious tendency. So among themselves, the people are fighting. But then if you have an external enemy, then they all come together and fight him. But their envious tendency has to be directed somewhere. That's one of the principles, Machiavellian politics. One of the principles, you should always be at war, because that help. Then you can control the people within the country. They become united, and you have a reason to discipline them very strongly. So the demigods, they're devotees, but Sakama Bhakta, they have their own personal desires. And they recognize the Supreme Lord. Here you see they're offering prayers which are correct, they're according to proper Siddhanta. But even though they have a proper understanding, they're not that much interested in developing their love for Krishna. Rather, they turn to him when they need him. You'll find always the demigods, they go to fight with the demons, and they're very confident. Sometimes they win and sometimes they don't. And when they're defeated, then, you better call Lord Vishnu. So then they go to him and pray that, oh Lord, you are the greatest, you are the supreme. Okay, what do you want this time? And again, the demons, all right, okay. And come. So like that. And they can rely on him. Even though he's neutral, he's not particularly inclined to one party over another. But he wants to see that the universe is managed in a manner that the Varnashram Dharma can be sustained. Because without that, then there's no question of being raised of the purpose of the creation, that people within it can be gradually elevated to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Without that, then there's no meaning to the creation. Therefore, although it appears that the Supreme Lord is partial to the demigods, actually he's not particularly so, but he does so because they pray to him, is one reason. Another reason, because they're more pious than the demons. They have the tendency to uphold Varnashram, whereas the demons, they may also follow to some extent, but theirs is, because they're demons, asura, so they have asuri Varnashram. That means without, they follow Varnashram also. You'll find the demons, even on their planets, they have divisions similar to Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. They also have Brahmanas, like the head of the Brahmin team is Shukracharya. But they don't have the attitude of submissiveness to Lord Vishnu and recognition of his supreme position. So they can, being demigods, being godly, they can appreciate the Supreme Lord. Here we see these sons of Kuvera, they appreciate the Supreme Lord in his greatness. But even if exposed to the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna, as they have been, they cannot enter into that mode or appreciate it. The same even for Indra or even for Brahma, even though they saw the Supreme Lord is here. But even though Brahma saw the opulence of the Supreme Lord, that he, so many Vishnu forms have taken the form of cowherd boys and calves, but he could only still relate to them as Vishnu forms, not as cowherd boys and calves. He's very much in the mentality that I am the son of Narayana. He himself is worshipped as an exalted personality, and he can't break out of that mood of considering I am very exalted, and so the Supreme Lord, he must be also like that. He can't break out of that consciousness. Even Lakshmi, she has information of the Ras Leela, but she appreciates that this is so wonderful and joyful, and she has some desire to join her, but she can't, because she can't give up, even though she tried by performing austerities, but she couldn't break out of the consciousness that I'm a queen. I'm the Vaikuntheshwari, queen of Vaikuntha. So that mood, yes, awe, reverence, formality, respect, that is required in relationship with God. And Krishna is God. But in Vrindavan, he's not playing the part of God. He's Nanda Nandana, the son of Nanda Maharaj. If you ask any of the Brijbasi who is Krishna, they won't say Tvameka Sarva Bhutanam Dehasvatmindriyeshwaraha Tvameka Kala Bhagavan. They won't say that. And if they said that to Krishna, he'd feel, anyway they wouldn't, but he'd feel, what is this? Just like Brahma, when he came to, after stealing the cowherd boys and calves, he came to apologize to Krishna. That, oh, and you are the Supreme Lord, and no one can know you, you are the original Narayana. And Krishna is standing there. Who is this funny guy? Who is this funny guy with four heads? I just want to play with my cowherd boys, and he's telling all these funny things. So he finished, and Krishna was looking at it. And Brahma didn't know, is he pleased with me, or is he angry with me, or what? And Krishna just thinking, you know, when's this guy going to go away? Oh, my coward friends are waiting for me. I want to play with them. So sometimes even the residents of Vrindavan, they also recognize that Krishna is God. They have some insight into that. But it doesn't really mean that much to them. Oh, Krishna is God. All right, well, time to give him his breakfast. Hey, look, our son, oh, see all the demigods. When Krishna would come from the forest, all the cowherd boys would be there with Krishna in the evening, and all the demigods would come and they would offer prayers, and the cowherd boys would imitate. Ah-ha-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho-ho. They would come to Krishna and imitate. You see, all these demigods are coming and praying to you. And they thought it was a big joke. So it's quite a different mood. The mood of Krishna in Vrindavan and that of the demigods or devotees in awe and reverence who worship Krishna with this mood. You are the Supreme Lord. That is, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great gift, that he came to bring love of Krishna, which is not even imagined by Brahma, Indra, Kuvera, and all the different demigods. So now you're reading the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the saram, Srimad Bhagavatam itself is the essence of the essence of all Vedic literatures, and 10th canto of that is the actual, all the different, previous to this, all the different avatars that have been described in the previous cantos, and the greatness of Krishna. So that's all to be read and understood, and then come to the 10th canto. It's not that we reject the previous, oh, we're only interested in Krishna and Vrindavan. But by hearing about all these different wonderful pastimes and how all the different great devotees worship Krishna, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, and with great appreciation of their pure devotion and great appreciation of Krishna as the Supreme Lord, Personality of God, and how he comes in different avatars to please his devotees. And then we come to Krishna in the 10th canto, who is the root of all the different avatars. Then we appreciate more how great is Krishna, how wonderful are these pastimes. So it's a very big subject. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Is there any question about this?
We had
Well, that's Krishna's great mercy. He allows them to see, just like we see. We see the deity. We serve the deity. How is it? That's Krishna's great mercy. He manifests himself within this world to give, to show himself. Here, come, see me, serve me. That is his great mercy. They can see.
And also they can come from heavenly planets when Krishna comes to earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The members, well, they particularly take roles, and many of the demigods took birth in the Yadu dynasty, especially, and others also, yeah. Other roles also. So that's Krishna's mercy. Just like, yeah, what are we doing? What are we doing chanting Hare Krishna? How did we get here? That's what the demigods are asking. And what are these people doing chanting Hare Krishna? And we're asking, what are they doing seeing the Rasa Lila? It's all Krishna's mercy.
Yeah.
He's head of our sampradaya. He's a pure devotee. Oh, so you're asking why I'm describing him as not as a pure devotee? Well, just like that question came up about, that may be different with with Arjuna, but that's called Brahma Vimohana Lila. That's how Brahma became bewildered. So his bewilderment and our bewilderment, and again we have to see there's a difference. He's on a different platform to us. It appears that this Brahma, who is a pure devotee, he's like so many devotees. When Krishna comes, he picks them up those who are just coming to the platform of pure devotion, they come and they join Krishna's pastimes, and then they become fully purified and they go back to Godhead. So it appears that Brahma is in that position. Again, he came as Haridas Thakur, then he became recognized as one of the greatest among Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates. So he's a pure devotee. He's also sometimes described as one of the demigods, because he also partakes in the mood of a demigod, which is somewhat distant from Krishna. So in his role as Brahma, he is somewhat intimate in as much as he's the son of Narayana, but then again somewhat distant because of his relationship of great awe and reverence, and because of the role of Brahma tends to make one the tendency is there to think of oneself as an independent controller to some extent. That's described in Bhagavatam. So actually he's not to be criticized. That when Prabhupada was asked about this, the story is there of Brahma chasing his own daughter. So Prabhupada said that's not to be criticized or misunderstood. That's given. Now why is that story given in Bhagavatam? Just to show that even so many people may perform horrible activities, but they don't get recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There's so many people doing horrible things, chasing nowadays, and in the past, and in the future they will do. Having illicit relationships with their daughters and sisters and so many things. But it's not related in the Bhagavatam. So that it's related in the Bhagavatam means there's a purpose to show that what is this Hrit Kama Roga, this disease within the heart of lusty desires, that even Brahma can be victimized. But then again, he came out of that. So that is given to show what is the dangerous position of this material world. But it's not that we should criticize Brahma. Who criticizes Brahma, they become an offender. And the sons of Marichi, they laughed at Brahma for that. And then they had to be... then they had to be born as the sons of Hiranyakashipu. For that offense. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.